Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We welcome the general manager of the New York Mets, Brody Van Wagenen. Brody, Howie Rose, Wayne Randazzo, how you doing?
I'm great, Howie, Wayne. How are you guys?
We're well, and look, there's no handbook for general managers on how to run a Major League Baseball team during a pandemic. But given that you've had a little while to adjust to it, what do you think, based on everything that you've learned, might give you some sort of an edge in getting this team where it needs to be under the most unusual of circumstances?
Well, Howie, you're right. I mean, this is none of us could have predicted to be in this circumstance. You know, I think that all of us have had, to learn a new normal in our daily lives and recognize how many people have faced, you know, really difficult circumstances and family challenges based on people getting sick. And it's just been something that's been hard for the whole country. You know, for us, what we have tried to communicate to our players is that for everything that's happened to this point, we have an opportunity. We actually have an opportunity to play baseball, and we have to view that as good fortune, and we have to view that as something that gives us something to cheer about and gives us some purpose to everything that we're doing every day. And I think, you know, if we can maintain that attitude, some of the new protocols will be something that we're more than happy to cope with because of the end result or opportunity that we all get to go through.
Well, they have already had roughly 25 players in the league test positive for coronavirus. You know, baseball's got bigger rosters, and certainly the numbers will likely be higher than that. You know, how do you guys plan to kind of hold back any reaction or any quick criticisms of the sport returning when we might see dozens and maybe even 100 or more players test positive in the next week or so?
Well, we know players are going to test positive. We know staff members are going to test positive. And it's going to be something that doesn't just happen this week. But we have to face the reality that this is something that we have to be prepared for on an ongoing basis. And, you know, we have to make sure that first and foremost, we have systems in place to be able to identify those that are sick, you know, be able to care for those players who are sick and their family members who potentially could be impacted. And then we have to, you know, build from a roster standpoint some depth behind that to have the next man stand up and next man step up so that, you know, we recognize that this season is going to require a lot more than just 26 or 30 to begin with. I mean, we're going to need to be utilizing every resource we have. But, you know, first and foremost, we got to make sure that we're putting our players and staff in the safest possible environment. And if they do contract the virus, that we're here to care for them, and that I think we're looking forward to doing that, and making sure that, you know, everybody has a supportive environment as possible.
Now, you mentioned that there will be larger rosters, certainly at the beginning of this truncated season. You've got a few weeks to get a look at who's here and who fits. And I know that there was a lot of evaluating done during the initial spring training, and there didn't appear to be a tremendous amount of potential spots open on your roster anyway. But how do you think these circumstances could compromise the ability to evaluate players?
Well, you know, look, I think everybody has to come into camp with the mindset that, you know, their bodies and their baseball work has been different than what they've typically done. And we as a staff have to recognize that everybody's solutions based on their hometown were different from one to the next. So we're going to spend the first few days assessing where people are physically and then making sure we have individual programs built so that the timeline for each player matches where he's at physically rather than just having a cookie cutter program where everybody's doing the same thing.
What kind of brainstorming has been done, you know, if any, amongst you and the coaching staff and Louis Rojas about how to strategize yourself through a 60-game season? Almost seems like this is going to be, you know, with each game having the utmost importance, that those kinds of strategies day in and day out are going to take on a different level, and maybe the teams that end up being able to take advantage of that will be the most successful in this short season.
Yeah, Wayne, I think it's a good question, and I think that the strategies are twofold. One is in game, how do you take advantage, whether it's an extra inning new rule or whether it's the DH, and how to utilize, you know, matchups from right and left-handed hitters, and then same thing with the bullpen. You've got more pieces, at least to start the year. You've got more players on your roster, and you want to make sure you're utilizing them, you know, for strategic advantage. But I also think the rules, the rosters are going to be really important in terms of managing player workload in the beginning, because a 60-game sprint is something that, you know, players are going to want to go full speed and full tilt out of the gate. But they may not have the spring training where we're able to build guys up to having back-to-back 9-inning games or, you know, 3 9-inning games in the field, you know, leading up into spring training or leading up into the start of the season. So we want to utilize the extra DH to make sure we can, you know, reposition players and give them some breaks and get them off their legs while also not having to give complete off days. And then from a pitching standpoint, same thing. We want to utilize the extra spots on the roster to make sure we're keeping guys fresh and that we're building up pitch counts and innings limits to something that's not asking somebody to come out and throw complete game shutouts on the first game.
You know, Brody, this has been not only a unique period in baseball history, but really in this country's history, with all of the social unrest and the strife that's enveloped this nation over the last 2-3 months. I wonder if, as the players report, and I know it's hard to get many of them together under the same roof in anything remotely close in terms of proximity, but do you have any feel for whether other organizations, and more specifically, and most specifically, of course, yours, feel that the players need to have some sort of baseline discussion among themselves in case things need to be aired out with where they stand on various issues so that a team can operate as harmoniously as possible under really difficult circumstances?
Well, you know, Howie, I think that we all, you know, as a team, as an organization, as society, have to recognize that, you know, we have to have this conversation. We have to recognize some of the challenges and the failures that have existed, you know, from our institutions, from our police force, and to, you know, really just generational challenges that, you know, that have existed for generational problems, not challenges, generational problems that have existed for far too long. We want our team to respect each other. You know, I don't view this as being a political discussion. This is a human discussion. You know, people need to respect each other, you know, within our clubhouse. There will be respect. There will be candid discussions about all topics. This group cares about each other, you know, and we as an organization care about these players, and we want them to feel like they have a voice. We want to support them in those voices, and we want to make sure that there's, you know, an opportunity and a platform for everybody to share their thoughts. And whether that happens in, you know, a group format outside on a field, or whether that happens in, you know, on Zoom calls or private conversations between players or staff, this is a moment where people can and should view each other as equal and view each other as, you know, be empathetic to other people's personal experiences that may be very different from one another.
Yeah, it's well said, Brody. And, you know, another thing that also might have to be talked about with the players is maybe just going into their lives a little bit more than you ordinarily would. You know, different cities have different mandates about dining and about bars are open and any of that kind of thing. Do you feel like you'll have to talk to these guys a little bit more about maybe staying in more, maybe not going out, maybe taking care of themselves in a way and trying to stay as healthy as they can differently than you might have in the past?
No question. You know, Luis talked about it yesterday when he had his media availability, that education is going to be very important. And we're doing what I'll call intake education. We've continued to talk to players about best practices leading up to camp. But this is going to be an ongoing communication and education. And here in New York, you know, with all the hardships that this area has dealt with and overcome, I do think that there's already a practice in place when you go out and you see people recognizing the importance of wearing masks and, you know, having better hygiene and keeping social distance. I think that will be more normal for the players here in New York when they're leaving the ballpark than it will be in other areas, but hopefully they can recognize the value of doing it here and then pre-program themselves to take the same approach when they go out on the road.
Brody, thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully before too long we'll be able to have conversations that are strictly baseball relative to a pennant race and all the things that we've yearned for so long now.
Well, and I look forward to seeing you guys too, and whether it's on a Zoom call in what will probably be the Zoom City here going forward, as hopefully our guys can get off to a good start and Citi Field will become Zoom City. And then, you know, for you guys, wave to me from the press box when you get here. I'll be doing the same, and we'll keep our distance, but we'll be enjoying the sport that we love so much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brody.
Just open your window. You'll be able to hear it. Just keep your window open. You'll be able to hear us do the game from next door.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, don't throw peanuts on me if I'm sitting down in the stand.
You're fair game, brother.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing
you. See you, Brody.
Thanks, Brody.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.